Wong Kar-wai has explored the different gradations of longing and loss in any number of his films, from As Tears Go By and Chungking Express to In the Mood for Love. But Americans have always seen them with subtitles because his movies were in Cantonese. Well, that's not the case with his latest, My Blueberry Nights, which is his first feature film in English. And it's also the debut movie for Norah Jones, who until now was known for her best-selling Grammy Award-winning albums. My Blueberry Nights opens this Friday, and I'm delighted to welcome both Wong Kar-wai and Norah Jones to the show today. Hello.
Thank you.
Joseon.
Oh, you got to show off your Chinese. Oh, I'm right. In trouble. Kar-wai, have you always wanted to do a film in English?
No, actually, I think the reasons to make this film does in English, it's because I want to work with Norah. And obviously, I cannot ask her to speak in Chinese.
Really? Norah is the reason you made a film in English?
I think this is also one of the great opportunity for me to do something which is very different from my previous work.
And it takes you out of your comfort zone because you weren't working with actors who spoke Cantonese. And you had to speak in English the whole time.
Yeah, I have to write in English too. And just imagine this is it's quite difficult. And also to work with a brand new crew and cast. But I think, well, this is really a good chance for me to do something which is very different. And because the story actually is based on a short film I made in Hong Kong a few years ago. And I really want to see, like, if I put this idea into a different context, in a different country, in a different language, what will bring to these stories.
Well, it's a first for Kar-wai. What about you, Norah? Had you had any desire to act before this?
Not in a serious way. I mean, I thought it would be fun. I did a play in high school.
Well, that was good preparation.
Yeah. I have some filmmaker friends in New York who always said, oh, let's do something. And I always thought, okay, that'd be fun. Small. But nothing serious.
And you wind up the main character in the film. Had you seen any of Wong Kar-wai's films before when he approached you?
No, when he approached me, I had never seen any of his films. And I was busy on tour, so I don't think I called back for like 6 months.
But did you have any idea of who he was?
I didn't. When I got home, I had a box set waiting on me of all his films. So I watched In the Mood for Love. And I thought, wow, is that guy still want to meet with me? What does he want? He's an amazing filmmaker, you know? I just thought it was so beautiful.
Well, was that enough to convince you?
It had to be, because when he asked me to make a movie with him, there was no script or storyline or character to go off.
But it has a short film.
He showed me a short film, which I thought was really cool, but it still was not.
Well, it had to be a lot different.
No, I think it's a lot, because I think normally when in my previous film, I only explained by words or just by myself. I think for this time, it's a big improvement. We have I prepare a short film for Norah. And then when we work, because I work with Larry Block on this film, to have a script. So everybody's very surprised to have a script on set, you know.
Well, because that's not the way you've worked in the past. There's been a lot of there's been a lot of improvisation.
Yeah. Right.
Was there improvisation here, Norah?
You know, there was, but not in the way maybe you mean. I mean, I think for a film, the way he works is very improvisatory, but I still had lines I was learning, yet they would change every day. They would change like 10 minutes before we'd shoot.
You mentioned Lawrence Block. He's famous as a mystery writer. He's been on the show to talk about any number of his mystery books.
Yeah.
There's not a murder in this movie. There's nothing that would have made me think of Lawrence Block. How did you wind up working with him? And is this the first time you've collaborated with another writer?
Yes, and basically, I was a big fan of Larry's work, and at first, we thought about, well, maybe we can do something together, work on a crime story. By the time I decided to make this film with Norah, I said, well, Larry, I have something proposed to you. This is the story. He said, are you sure? There's no crime? There's no cops?
He must have been disappointed. He said, you're killing people.
There's one cop.
But I said, there's at least one cop and one alcoholic, right? And there's marathon runner, who's also like a biggest hobby of Larry.
Well, actually, the cop is The Alcoholic, yeah. by David Strathairn, marvelously. Yeah. You did put together an incredible cast. Now, well, let's talk about Nora for a moment before we get to some of those other people. What made you want to work with her? Were you a fan of her singing?
Yes. What was it? Because I still am not sure.
No, I don't mean that in a negative way.
No,
I just
I'm
mean,
actually serious.
Because he said
I was
that
very surprised.
You were the reason he wanted to do this film.
Yeah, he took me by surprise for sure.
It is really by instinct, you know. It's like I'm very impressed with her, like a music talent. But and I also by instinct I can tell she can be a very interesting actress because her face is so different and so beautiful. And
she also tells stories in her songs.
Yes, and also one thing that people always wonder: what do you mean by her voice is very cinematic? I don't know why, but maybe I'm from the generations of radio, because when I listen to your voice, I can feel, I can have a strong feeling about you, you know. Yesterday, I just met some friend after screening. They said, well, her voice is so beautiful. It's like when we are in Memphis, the chapters, they feel like, well, if I have a problem, I would love to talk to Nora because her voice is so warm and smoothing.
Well, this is not the first time you've used a singer. You used pop superstar Fei Wong in Chungking Express. So you have a thing about that.
It's not really about, like, for me, I don't see them as singers, because even though they are great singers, but I just see them as exceptional, like a woman and personalities.
So did he tell you, Nora, that the cast was also going to include Jude Law, David Strathairn, Rachel Weisz, and Natalie Portman?
No. In fact, I thought I was going to be doing a really small indie film with this amazing director, but I had no idea. When he gave me the cast list finally, after we'd already been talking about it for about 6 months, I was like, I couldn't breathe. I was so nervous.
Actually, I consult her, right? Whenever there's like, I'm going to meet someone and I'm going to meet someone. What do you think about this?
Yeah, but every single time it was somebody, you know, very famous and very, very great actors, you know.
Were they as easy to work with as the actors in Hong Kong?
Yes. It's at first I thought it would be very different, but at the end it's very, very much the same. And I must say, like, even though, like, they are really established like stars and they work on big productions, but I think we managed to keep these productions in a spirit like it is very intimate. Everybody works in just like closely, and I can see like Nora and Jude, and they have like a very good collaborations, the chemistry, and I think they take good care of Nora.
Well, when I've spoken to any number of great actors who say that if a director they've admired comes along and asks them to do something, they're often willing to work for much less than they usually do and much more open to the experience because they've admired the films. And I'm sure all these people knew your work. Or did you have to send them boxes of films the same way you sent to Nora?
They weren't as dumb as me, yeah.
No, well, they're in the business, you know. It's a big... You weren't thinking of being in the films.
I just asked my casting directors to remind them that, well, before meeting, this guy works without script. Is it okay with you? So I just want everybody's the way I work and before we start.
Well, Nora was first. Who came after that?
And second is Jude. Because we start with Nora, and then I have to decide like her screen partners. So the first chapters is in New York. So I think, well, Jude will be very interesting to play Jeremy.
Now, you must have been very nervous playing against Jude Law, but I'll bet you he helped you.
He was super nice. Yeah, everyone in the cast was very generous with me and very nice and open with me.
They give you tips?
They were open to me asking for tips, but they didn't treat me like a beginner. So that gave me even more confidence, I think. They just treated me like one of them, even though I was a beginner.
The story is about Elizabeth, the self-described broken-hearted young woman who leaves New York to find herself, or as she says, she takes the long way to cross the street. And she goes to Memphis first, after she spends a fair amount of time in this cafe, the cafe that she was stood up in, waiting for her boyfriend, and winds up connecting to Jude Law, who who has the cafe, and my sense was that it was in Queens. I don't know. Where was it shot? It was shot near an L train somewhere.
Actually, it is in Soho. But
the train was yeah. in Brooklyn.
Right.
Yeah.
The cafe was in Soho and the train was in Brooklyn.
I just like the form of this cafe, and so I didn't specific where this, so I have to imagine actually it's supposed to be in Queens.
Now, Nora comes in and she winds up eating blueberry pie every night. Here's a clip about the significance of blueberry pie.
At the end of every night, the cheesecake and the apple pie are always completely gone. The peach cobbler and the chocolate mousse cake are nearly finished, but there's always a whole blueberry pie left untouched.
So what's wrong with the blueberry pie?
There's nothing wrong with the blueberry pie. It's just people make other choices. You can't blame the blueberry pie. It's just no one wants it.
I want a piece.
With ice cream. Give it to me.
You eat a lot of blueberry pie in that movie. Do you like blueberry pie?
Oddly enough, now I kind of do. It's kind of nostalgic. I didn't like it before. You'd think I'd hate it, but I like it.
Well, in movies, you never know how many times you're eating the blueberry pie. There are extra takes and all of that.
Yeah.
And Carwai has a reputation for many takes. That was a lot of blueberry pie then.
Yeah, I think three was the most I had to eat. Not pies, three slices. So it wasn't too
That
bad.
Looked like one slice.
Yeah, that looked like one slice.
We'll take a little break and we'll come back with more of my guests, are Nora Jones, who's starring in My Blueberry Nights, the latest film from Wong Kar-wai, who directed, produced, and co-wrote the script with Lawrence Block. Also in the film are Jude Law, David Strathairn, Rachel Weisz, Natalie Portman. Just fabulous performance from Natalie. Well, Rachel Weisz. Incredible.
Everyone. Lucky me. What a cool
And
cast.
We will and we'll talk a bit about the music and some other things when we come back.
Sure.
Oh, she may be weary. Young girls, they do get weary wearing that same old shaggy dress, yeah, yeah. But when she gets weary, try a little tenderness, yeah. Just how it goes. And now those springs in the air, I don't go out anywhere. I guess it's just how it goes. The stories of all
Nora Jones singing from the soundtrack of My Blueberry Nights, which opens this Friday at the Angelica, the Lincoln Plaza, and the 60th and 3rd Avenue. It's directed and co-written by Wong Kar-wai. And you don't sing in the film, Nora. Was that your decision or was that Kar-wai's decision?
I don't think he ever intended for me to, and I don't think I wanted to do it if that was going to be the deal. In fact, we even talked about not using my music in the film. when he asked.
That would have been a shock.
Yeah. No, I was happy about that. I didn't really want to use my music in the film because my character's not a singer. It would be kind of distracting, we thought. And then he asked if I had a song for the soundtrack, and he ended up putting it in the credits.
But you did use a lot of music in the film.
Yeah.
This is a film as much about music as it is about other things, the basic plot. I mean, there are certain themes. We hear Otis Redding again and again. We hear Ruth Brown and a lot of classic R&B.
Yeah.
Is that music you like?
Yeah, this is the some of them are my favorite genre. And basically, I think the reasons... we decided to shoot in Memphis, basically, is like I want to capture the music and also some spirits of Tennessee Williams in that place. And basically, I think this journey is I want to capture not only the visual side, but also the sound, the audio side.
Of the United States.
Yes, because when we travel before shooting, I have to find locations to understand the trip of Elizabeth. And I realized, like, when a car reaches from one state to the other, you can feel the sounds. The music on the radios is different. So I want to capture that. And the music actually is give the audience a sense of the cities.
How much traveling did you do across the United States?
We traveled, three times with my DP and my location managers in a car. We drove from East Coast to West Coast.
Very different, I expect, than when you traveled across Argentina for an earlier film.
Right.
But I'm sure you've seen a number of movies that have been made about China by directors who weren't Chinese, and you've seen how easy it is to get the details wrong. What were the hardest things to get right in this film?
This is something that I always remind myself, and even during shooting, I just keep telling, Nora and my cast, the rest of the cast, I said, well, I'm sure you understand this characters or this country or this context much better than me, so I need your input. So I give you the scenarios and you tell me how to do it, right?
And so you were giving the director tips as well. We wouldn't do it that way here.
Yeah, this whole thing happened very backwardly, actually.
But that was probably part... This was a cross-cultural experience, wasn't it? And
yeah.
At the same time, the film does not feel like it's made by a Chinese director. This doesn't have the feeling of a Hong Kong film at all, except that anybody who knows your work will recognize the visual style.
Mm-hmm. I think it is collaborations. I would say because when I have to work in English, it is at first, you feel very stiff and self-conscious because you know you just want to make things right. At the end, I think, well, just forget it about all this good or bad thing. I just want to make it as essential as possible. So at the end, I think, well, I'm writing more or less like a telegraph. So it has to be economical and straightforward. And I let my partners to feel in all this flesh and blood, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you leaned a lot on Lawrence Block.
Yeah,
for the American stuff, as well as your actors?
I think so, because actually, one thing strange about my collaboration with Larry is we don't talk much, we don't have a lot of meeting. We just exchange our draft. And because we have to have a sort of final draft before we start this road trip, because we have 7 weeks together. And afterwards, he's going to marathon again. We can reach him. So basically, we do a lot of revisions on the set with our cast. It's basically the way we work used to be in Hong Kong.
I recently had Gabriel Byrne here. He was talking about being in treatment, playing a therapist, and he said one of the hardest things for actors to do is to listen. You do a lot of listening in this because you're playing a waitress who listens to people mm-hmm. as they tell their stories. Did you find that difficult?
Well, for me, being a first-time actor and not really...
You didn't know what was difficult.
Yeah, I mean, I probably found that part easier than, you know, having a lot of lines just because I've never done this before. But also, he has me working with these amazing actors. And getting to listen to them was a pleasure, getting to watch them. I mean, I really did believe they were these characters. So a lot of my reactions are very honest.
Did you have any musical input? Ry Cooter did the really did the soundtrack, but Cassandra Wilson.
I chose that song. Yeah.
That, is she a favorite of yours?
She is, and that version she does of that Neil Young song is a favorite of mine. I chose that song, and I suggested Cat Power, though. I think he already had that on his list. And I suggested Otis Redding because we were in Memphis, and I love Otis Redding. But other than that, the rest of the soundtrack was him.
And did you know what was going to be on the soundtrack? Was there music on the set?
There was, and we heard a couple of Cat Power songs probably 2,000-3,000 times, which is great because I love those particular songs. But and then we in Memphis, that was in New York. In Memphis, everything was Otis Redding. And in Ely, we didn't really listen to a lot of music.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know why.
It's in the desert. There's no chance we listen to music.
Now, Ely is a small town in Nevada.
Yes,
and then she takes a trip with Natalie Portman to Las Vegas. But it was important, Carwai, to put it in a small town, not in Las Vegas or Reno?
It is all by accident because, in fact, the story actually is... At the very beginning, the idea is to happen to take place in Vegas, but somehow we get lost on our way to Vegas. We get lost in this small town, and it's in the morning, and there's only one woman that we find, one Korean woman in the gas stations, and then somehow she's very nice to us, and we talk about this place, and I understand the history of this town, and I think, well, this is a small town, used to be like, it's in the 20s, it is a very important town, but now it is almost like a very deserted place, and there's only one hotel with a casino. I think that will be interesting. It's more, least expected than shoot the whole film in Vegas.
And it's where somebody like Elizabeth would wind up.
Right.
It was so much more fun shooting there than Vegas.
Yeah.
It was such a sweet place to be, just in the middle of nowhere.
My guests are Nora Jones and Wong Kar-wai. We're talking about the Blueberry Nights, My Blueberry Nights, which opens this Friday at the Angelica, the Lincoln Plaza, and also that theater at 60th and 3rd Avenue. I don't know the name of the theater.
I don't either.
This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. There is a scene where you cry on cue. Was that hard to do?
It was easy to cry once on cue, but the hard part was doing it when they were ready, not when I was ready. And it was hard to do it then again and then again and then again because, you know, they always need multiple takes and different angles. So
that's not true. I remember we shot that scenes, and then I give like Nora 5 minutes to ready. I said, well, pick one music because we keep playing Cat Powers, and that music didn't work for her at this emotion.
Not to cry. That just made me think of kissing Jude.
And then he asked, well, can I pick
you're
my...
You thinking about kissing Jude Law.
No, no,
I can't
imagine
why.
Because he played the Cat Power song for that scene.
And then I said that Nora just picked one song, and then she picked one song, the Cassandra Wilson, and then she cried. We were very impressed. And then I said, are you okay? She said, well, do you want one more?
Whoa, she's becoming a professional.
No, that was one of the crying scenes. There was another one, though, that was very difficult for me because I just wasn't in a crying mood that day.
You have a reputation for taking a long time shooting a lot of things, cutting and recutting, and this film has been recut since it was shown at Cannes.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were unhappy with it or because the critics had been unhappy with it at Cannes?
No, it is... The version in Cannes is a more elaborate version. It's like 15 minutes longer than the versions that we'll release here. And this version is more straightforward. I like both of them. Mm-hmm. The thing is, I think the distributors think this version works better in these countries because it is something that will be understood by the audience here.
So it's a little tighter.
Yes, right.
So will different versions be released in different countries?
Well, basically, there's international versions and U.S. versions, and that's it.
Because I know that Ang Lee's last film had a version that was quite different in China than
was
here, because the Chinese wouldn't allow it to be shown in its original version. Will this be shown in China?
Yes, it's released in China.
And I understand that you already released in China.
Yes, and it released during Christmas, and this is the number one box office in Shanghai.
There's supposed to be a blueberry bus that went to big Chinese cities.
Yes, right.
And you had blueberry girls.
No, they are just like students. They want to do something like to experience what Nora experienced in the film,
except in China.
Yes, right.
Nora, you performed this past Monday at the Living Room to celebrate its 10th anniversary. What was it like coming back to performing after acting?
It was great. Actually, I feel like doing this film really helped my performing, because I always loved performing, but I was always a little scared of the audience. Because I don't know, I think I grew up playing in bars where nobody was listening, so I was never used to a whole theater being, you know, staring at me intently.
Well,
so,
a huge on a screen. That must be weird to see your face 20 feet high.
That was weird, but somehow the act of doing this film made me just so much more comfortable. And so I really enjoyed performing a lot more since doing it.
Well, you've said that you have really big fear of being overexposed, and that when your first album became such a big hit, You said that was the worst time of your life.
Yeah. I mean, that's a little dramatic, maybe.
Well, but how do you go about balancing the need to publicize a record or a movie and the desire, the reasonable desire for privacy?
Well, luckily I live in New York, where I can stay pretty mellow. Nobody really pays attention to you in New York. But I don't know. It's hard. Sometimes, you know, I won't want to do stuff to promote things, but I also know what game I'm in and what I do have to do. So I just try to balance it. Sometimes it goes one way or the other a little too much, but I just try to balance it as best I can.
Will you be going back to the recording studios or the film studios?
Oh, I like my day job a lot. I love doing this film. It was a pretty incredible experience. And for me to do another film, it would have to be something that I was really excited about, because this has a lot to live up to for me.
Karwa, you have another script for her?
She's ready.
Are you about to go make another film, I would assume, back in Cantonese?
Yes.
Are you going to make other films in English, do you think?
No.
Is this it?
Making English language film is like my night job, so I still like my day job.
Yeah, exactly.
If there's another chance with something like this, I would be happy to do it.
Meanwhile, we're going to go out with some more of the story. The song was already written when the film was being made?
Well, I wrote it while we were making the film. I came home after a long night of shooting at 6 a.m., and I just hadn't played piano in so long. I just started playing, and the song kind of tumbled out. So,
is that often the case?
That's the
songs
best.
Songs tumble out?
Yeah, that's the best case scenario. I don't have great self-discipline, so I sort of just have to let it happen that way.
My Blueberry Nights, Wong Kar-wai's latest film, starring Nora Jones, Jude Law, David Strathairn, Rachel Weisz, Natalie Portman, opens this Friday at the Angelica, the Lincoln Plaza, and the 60th and 3rd Avenue Cinema. And I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And here's a little more Nora.
Thank you.